I'm John Batchelor with good news. Behind the Black is here, Bob Zimmerman, and we're ready to celebrate. Bob, what has happened that's worthy popping a champagne cork? Good evening to you.
It's good news, John, but I'm not sure I'm ready to pop any champagne. We have to hold back a little bit. But New Glenn, which is the orbital rocket that Jeff Bezos' company Blue Origin has been developing for more than a decade and is 4 years behind schedule. And for about 5 years, nothing seemed to be happening until about 2 years ago when Bezos replaced the CEO of Blue Origin. It appears that New Glenn is moving really the company Blue Origin is moving aggressively to launch New Glenn as planned on October 13th, 2024, on its very first launch. And we have a variety of pieces of news, but the one that I have today is that the landing platform, the floating landing platform that they hope to use for New Glenn's first stage to land on it, like SpaceX's Falcon 9 first stages land on a barge in the ocean, it has arrived at Port Canaveral. It's completed and finished, and it's ready to go. This means they are going to, almost certainly going to attempt a first stage landing on this landing platform when they do this first launch. And that it's here indicates that, once again, they're getting close. There have been a lot of indications that they're putting the rocket together right now in preparation for launch. And they've done a bunch of a series of launch pad procedure tests and fueling tests to prepare for that. And the launch is for October 13th to carry two Rocket Lab-built Mars orbiters for NASA. What's key about that launch is they only have an 8-day window. If they don't get off on the 13th, they've only got about a week before they'll run out of time, and that thing will have to be delayed for 2 years. So the timing is tight. They don't have a lot of margin here, and there's a lot of things they still have to do. But the indications are that they're aggressively getting those things done, which is something that from 2017 to 2022, Blue Origin wasn't doing. It wasn't getting anything done. And it does appear things are getting done, John. So you can, I would put the champagne on ice, ready to go, but I wouldn't pop the cork quite yet.
All right, game six of the World Series here. We're waiting for the payoff. We go to, what is relativity?
Relativity is a rocket startup, one of the, I don't know, half a dozen American rocket startups that were doing launches, actually, 2-3 years ago. It did a launch of a small rocket called Terran 1 about 2 years ago, but then immediately decided it was going to do no more test flights of Terran 1. It was going to move its entire production and development processes to building a larger Terran R rocket. There's a company that specializes in 3D printing technology for building its rockets. It claimed Terran 1 was completely 3D printed. However, and they hope to get, they hope to get Terran R launched in 26. That's the target they've been targeting. However, there has been indications that there might be some issues with building this with 3D printing. 3D printing has great merits in many ways, but it also can be very expensive. And it does appear they might be having some problems. There are rumors that they had, quote, a large buckling event with a printed tank dome. And then moved to buying those pressure domes from a European aerospace company, unnamed. And there it seems to be the status of Terran R is very vague right now. They've changed its size, and it seems to be the company seems to be outsourcing construction of many parts from European vendors. But we have no details, no specifics. There's just indications there might be issues with relativity. This ties in with this pattern I've noticed in the last year and a half, which is there seems to be a real slowdown in American new rocket companies and their efforts and their launches. Some of it has to do with failures in the companies. Some of it appears to be related to the FAA and its so-called new streamlined regulations that have slowed everything down. I'm not sure what's going on with relativity. Their 3D printing technology is a massive, magnificent asset, and they could actually make a lot of money just using that technology to print things for others. So it's an interesting case with relative. We'll see where it goes.
Shooting star cargo module for Sierra Space. What's the status?
This is the cargo module and service module that will be launched with Sierra Space's Tenacity Dream Chaser. Both Shooting Star, the cargo module, it does not come back to Earth. And Dream Chaser, Tenacity, does come back to Earth. Both are being prepared, getting their final testing, ground testing, before that launch. And so Shooting Star has now completed its acoustical testing. This is where they literally expose it to giant loudspeakers, which produce a great deal of vibration sound, high decibel sound, with the idea of exposing it to similar kinds of sound vibrations that it would experience during its launch on a Vulcan rocket, the ULA's Vulcan rocket. And it's completed that test, and everything is fine. We do not know yet when this spacecraft will launch. Sierra Space was supposed to launch Tenacity and Shooting Star in the spring on a Vulcan rocket. It got delayed till September, and then about 2 months ago, ULA took Tenacity off the payload manifest. It said, we have to launch that on time because we need that second Vulcan launch to get certified by the military and start doing military commercial launches. We can't delay that second launch anymore. And so they're going to put a dummy payload on. And so right now, we don't even know what launch vehicle Sierra Space will use for this vehicle. It's likely going to be another ULA Vulcan rocket, but that hasn't been scheduled yet. The company says, Sierra Space says it's going to have this ready to launch by the end of the year, but I wouldn't bet on that. I'd say it's more likely going to launch next year, John.
Ariana Space manages a company from Italy called Avio. What have they done, Bob?
It's a little more complicated. It's complicated, John, so it's easy to get it confused. Ariana Space is the European Space Agency's so-called commercial rocket arm. And essentially, the way Europe has done things for the last 25 years is various contractors in Europe build rockets or rocket parts, and then they get handed over to Ariane Space, which runs the operation, makes money, and does everything. The companies that build the rockets have not had any control over their own rockets. So the rocket called Vega was built by an Italian company called Avio, and under this old system, Ariane Space would take it over and do launches, get customers, so forth and so on. The Vega rocket is being replaced by the Vega C, and so this week, the last launch of the Vega rocket took place. And that was a launch managed by Ariana Space using the Italian-built rocket Vega. The launch was successful. No more Vega launches were going to happen. But what's interesting about this story is that coming in the near future, Ariana Space is going to disappear as a middleman. Basically, the European Space Agency is giving the rockets back to the companies. And so Avio, which builds the Vega C rocket, will be marketing the Vega C directly to payload customers itself and doing its own launches. The only thing Ariane Space will do is manage for the French Space Agency, the French Guiana spaceport. That's essentially what it's going to be limited to. So that's what's interesting about this. We have the end of the Vega rocket, but the Vega C will be controlled by the companies themselves.
China, with a big announcement to my reading, 2028 Mars sample return. Wow, Bob, they did the moon, but wow, what a boost.
China, there's a lot of uncertainties about this. I would not bet on China succeeding in 2028, but I also would not bet against them succeeding within 2 years, like in 30. They have been pretty good at meeting their deadlines in the last decade when it comes to planetary and space operations. They're pretty good at it. And they have been very rational about their planning. They said from the beginning that those lunar sample return missions were precursors to a Mars sample return mission. In other words, you have a lander. You developed the technology to get a sample out of the ground. That can be applied to a Mars lander relatively easy. And so they've been moving pretty good. So they've announced now that they're targeting a 2028 date for the for their Mars Sonar return mission. The details are vague. It sounds like in many ways it'll be very similar to the very confusing Mars sample return mission that NASA is trying and European Space Agency is trying to put together, but we don't have any real clear details. At the moment, I'd say there are three possible candidates for completing a sample return mission to Mars. The first is Mars sample return from NASA and ESA. That's a mess. I don't know when that's going to happen, as early as the 30s as they hope. The second is China's now announced mission. There's a lot of unknowns there, but they, once again, they meet their schedules pretty good. And the third possibility is actually SpaceX's Starship. SpaceX has even picked a landing zone, preliminary landing zone on Mars. And it was being designed, Starship, for Mars missions. Now, SpaceX could do this either in conjunction with the NASA Mars sample return mission, or it could do it on its own. But if it does it on its own, I think they will be the ones most likely to do this first above the other two entities, John.
The samples are waiting for the U.S. NASA mission right now. The samples exist. It's picking them up and bringing them back. That hasn't been solved. Is that correct, Bob?
Yes, that's the Perseverance job. Perseverance, the rover, it has limited actual science capabilities compared to Curiosity. It can do science, but it's limited. It doesn't do any analysis of its core samples. Instead, it gathers them up and either deposits them in the rover or a duplicate sample in different places on the surface. And those samples are designed to be picked up by some system down the road. We don't know how.
We go to another China news, although this seems more propaganda, PR. China and its international partners, who?
Yes, so China has a program comparable to the Artemis Accords deal that NASA tries to sign up international partners for exploring the moon. Their program is called the International Lunar Research Station Project. It's to build a lunar base on the moon, and they've been signing up other nations and other entities to be partners with this, and they've now added Senegal to that list. The list is mostly very small nations. The biggest one involved is Russia. I'll get to Russia in a second. They've now signed up Senegal. They've also signed deals for deep space exploration beyond the moon with a whole bunch of other nations, including Serbia, Switzerland, the United Arab Emirates, Indonesia, Pakistan, Panama, and South Africa. So they are getting a lot of – they're expanding the international partners with China. And that's I think that from China's perspective, either it's a bad reflection on the United States' partnership or it's a good reflection on China. But either way, that's what's happening. Now, to Russia, John, I'm going to go straight to the next story. Russia has claimed that its next unmanned moon mission, Luna 26, is on schedule to launch in 27, but it might even happen earlier in 26. The problem with this is that they originally were supposed to launch this in 25. So even though they say it's on schedule 27, it's really 2 years behind schedule. And I bring this up in the context of China because China's partnership is supposed to be a one-to-one partnership with Russia with third parties. Russia is dropping the ball as expected and as I predicted. It's really not going to get almost anything done as planned. And so that's one of the reasons I think China has been signing up so many other nations, because it's not getting any benefit from Russia in this partnership, and that's where it stands.
The solar sail. The last time you reported on this, the engineers had solved a solar sail problem. What has happened since then?
Yes, this is a engineering test solar sail that NASA engineers designed and launched, a few weeks ago. It's designed to use a CubeSat configuration, which is very small, less than a few feet across, to deploy an 800-square-foot solar sail. And the deployment was delayed for a few technical glitches, but nothing serious. They deployed it successfully. And then an amateur astronomer noticed that the brightness reflection of this giant solar sail was fluctuating, suggesting it was tumbling. Well, now NASA has confirmed that tumbling is occurring, but it's as planned. Once the deployment was completed, they're allowing the spacecraft, they turned off the attitude control system just to let the deployed system settle in orbit, and they expect it to slowly tumble, and that's what it's doing. After they've completely tested out the booms and the sail, they're going to re-engage the attitude control system, stabilize it, stop the tumbling, and then they will begin to do flight tests using sunlight to move this solar sail to different places in Earth orbit. So it's kind of cool, John.
All right, here's the end of the world chapter. Apophis. Remind Bob, what is Apophis? Why is it
Apophis
so?
Apophis is a potentially dangerous asteroid. It's not going to hit the Earth for at least 200 more years,
right.
Maybe 1,000 years. But we can't predict beyond that. It has high potential eventually hitting the Earth. It's going to do a close flyby in April of 2029. NASA already has one mission on the way. Europe has another mission planned to launch to go there. NASA has two probes called Janus that were supposed to visit an asteroid, but they were going to fly on as a secondary payload. When their primary payload got delayed, they were stranded. They had no target anymore. And so NASA has now put a request for proposal out to the space industry for proposals on refitting these two Janus planetary probes to fly to the asteroid Apophis prior to its close approach to the Earth to do research. We don't know if that's going to happen, but it's a good idea to try to salvage these probes, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.